about it. All right, well, guys, it's good to be with you, and we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to just read a passage to us, and you're familiar with it, and then walk through a few things tonight that I hope will really encourage you and will help us prepare, not just for tonight, but at other times when we think through what are we doing and what are we remembering when we take the supper together. You follow along. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful tonight for the truths that we just sang, for your word and for revealing to us not only who Jesus is, but what he came to do and why we needed it so badly. And Father, how we could follow after him and be right with you. So Lord, tonight as we begin to prepare and to take this, to remember what you've done, to celebrate what you've done, Father, we pray that we would not do this lightly. Father, we would not do this with unprepared or unexamined hearts. But Father, we would really see just the beauty and the glory of what you accomplished on the cross. And Father, that it would be something that that you would protect us, Father, from taking that for granted or it just seeming normal or usual. But Father, we pray tonight that you would help us to be in awe of who you are and what you've done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about taking the Lord's Supper, one of the things that we see in the passage when you read in the Gospel of Luke and other places, of course, in 1 Corinthians here with Paul, we're thinking about this idea of to do this in remembrance of me. And this has been a question that people have asked, theologians have asked, what does it mean to this idea of remembering? How do we do this in remembrance? And I think it's helpful for us to think through that, so that's what I'd like to try to answer tonight is, what does it mean to biblically remember and to think through it like that? Michael Horton is a theologian. He defines it like this. He says, biblically, a call to remember, especially when it is tied to a sign or a ceremony, is a vibrant, powerful, and participatory concept where we recalibrate our lives according to what's being remembered. He continues by saying, the understanding of remembrance within the Jewish context is essential and important for us to remember. He says, our Greek intellectual heritage, when we think it through those lens, remembering means recollecting, recalling to mind something that is no longer a present reality. But he said, nothing could be further from a Jewish conception, where remembering means participating here and now in certain defining events in the past and also in the future. So he gives a couple of examples that you would be familiar with, how the Old Testament uses this. One of them, of course, is after the flood, where God tells Noah that the sign of the covenant sign of the rainbow, through that he would never cover the whole earth again in judgment with water again. Every time the rainbow appears, God's covenant is remembered. The covenantal sign of the rainbow reassures us of God's promises that still apply to this very day. The Passover that would happen in Exodus is another one. Every year, the Israelites would again participate in this meal to remember that they belonged to God and what God did to get them to that point of being his people. It wasn't simply a history to be learned, but a history to be lived. They participated actively in a meal because they were partakers of the reality of that redemption. And the Lord's Supper functions for us in a similar way. There's a Puritan, and his name's John Flavel, and he distinguished between two types of remembering. He said the first one, he described as speculative and transient. The second one was affectionate and permanent. Listen to how he differentiates between the two. He says a speculative remembrance is only to call to mind the history of such a person and his sufferings. For example, that Christ was once put to death in the flesh. That's a speculative or a transient remembrance. But he said an affectionate remembrance is when we so call to mind Christ and his death as to feel the powerful impressions thereof upon our hearts. Then he goes on to say, to remember daily, and this is an important part of this, to remember daily what that did for us. This understanding of remembrance, I think, is really important as we move forward, getting ready to take the supper tonight. When we think about some of the ways that the Lord's Supper has been thought of historically, theologically, especially coming out of the Reformation, they were moving away from the Roman Catholic understanding of transubstantiation, where the physical elements would take on the blood and the body of Christ, and we, of course, reject that. Luther moved to a position that really wasn't that far away called consubstantiation. Calvin added something called the spiritual presence. And in a lot of ways, what those were reactions to were, they knew the Roman Catholic view was not right, but they saw a view that was purely memorial as insufficient, as cold, and as distant. But when we understand how Horton defines remembrance, how he explains the differences of how we're to remember, when we think about the definition that Flavel gave of an affectionate remembrance, it shows us that what should happen is that we are remembering every day. It is something that happened in the past with very present and future consequences, which is how we should think of the gospel. Jerry Bridges, the author, says that we should teach the gospel to ourselves every day. And one of the things that I love is, as I was thinking about this, and this has been something I've thought about for several years, the Anabaptists actually really recovered this part of the Lord's Supper for us. They rejected Calvin's view of the spiritual presence. They rejected the transubstantiation and the consubstantiation understanding, but they embraced a full-orbed understanding of what it meant to remember. Hubmaier, a theologian, and Conrad Grebel, they wrote on this, but probably the most prolific was an Anabaptist theologian named Michael Sattler. Listen to how he described this. He said, the Lord's Supper was for believers. For believers to be gathered together to remember the work of Jesus, and for that remembrance to have incredible impact, to have daily influence and power. What a great quote. The gospel should have daily influence and power on our lives. The Anabaptists helped us with this. And so the question comes as we think about this in terms of taking the Lord's Supper this evening. What are some things that we should remember? Maybe another way of asking it's this. What should you and I be thinking about as we participate in the Lord's Supper? Others have written about this and formulated something like this, but I believe Andrew Fuller, who was a British Baptist theologian and pastor, was the one who came up with this. Fuller would say, we're to look back to our Savior, look forward to our final salvation, look inward at our sin, and look around at one another. So in the few minutes that we have tonight before we celebrate and take this together, I'd like to offer a few suggestions of things for us to remember and to think about as we are participating tonight in the Lord's Supper. And I think we can see a lot of these coming through 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Number one, the first is that we should remember to be thankful. In Jesus' example in the Gospels, as he led the disciples through this, as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11, the entire supper started with giving thanks. Thanksgiving is often a neglected spiritual discipline, but it sure isn't one that should be neglected as we come to the table to think about the provision of Christ and his body and his blood and what it accomplished. Secondly, we should remember the cost of our salvation. We talk about celebrating the Lord's Supper, and I think that's right. We do celebrate what Jesus has done. I think there's a solemnity to it as we remember these things, but we also have to remember that it was accomplished by a death. Hebrews 12 reminds us that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. that the cross was real and the cross was devastating. So we should remember the cost, what it cost our Lord to accomplish for us eternal life. Number three, we should remember the person of our salvation. We remember Christ our Savior, but it should also be Christ who is risen. Christ who is our high priest and our advocate, our mediator. And Christ who is king, reigning on his throne. Fourth, we should remember and think about the benefits of our salvation. We're free. We can have peace. We have a new heart. We're changed. We're no longer slaves to sin. We can know truth and righteousness. Christ didn't just go to a cross and pay that awful price for us to agree with truths of that. It actually changes us. And we can be different because of what he's done. Fifth, we should remember the church and one another, which is the context of the Lord's Supper. Our spiritual family, who we share the meal with, who we share life with, and who we can look forward to sharing eternity with. Everything that we can be thankful for and remember in terms of our own lives when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we can look around this room and be thankful and grateful and remember that God's done that for each of us as well. That this supernatural event that we're celebrating is true, not just for me individually, but for us together. Sixth, we should remember our true home, heaven, where hurt and sin, where sickness and tears will one day all be gone. I think another way that we can mention that one as well is not only are we remembering our true home, but it's also a call to remember that this is not our home. That we are travelers, that we are sojourners, that we are passing through on a mission that he's given us, but one day we will be with him. Seventh, we remember our victory in Christ. Sometimes I think it's easy to forget that we can, even though we're experiencing things in this life and it's not moving as fast as we would want it to, and we still have battles with our flesh and we still have struggles and hurt and pain and all these things, but there is a confidence that we should remember that sin and death have been defeated. The cross wasn't just hopeful, it was powerful. It was effective. It accomplished what Jesus came to do. As we just sang, it is completed. It is finished. The reminder that we're no longer slaves to our sin is such a great reminder that we should have confidence in what Jesus has done in our life. Eighth, we should think often and remember the promise and the hope of his return. I've shared this many times, but in Don Whitney's book, 10 Questions to Diagnose Your Spiritual Health, he walks through some great self-examination questions. And the last one he gets to that he asks for believers to really meditate on is, do I long for heaven and to be with Jesus? And far too often it seems like when we're in the middle of a trial or something's going on is when we think about that the most, but that should be an everyday present reality of thinking about what it's going to be like to be with him and longing for that and desiring of that and trusting. We live as Paul, that to live as Christ and to die as gain, but we rest in that he is coming again and we will be with him. Number nine, we remember our individual and our corporate privilege. And that is that we are to proclaim him until he comes. We do that tonight, as Paul says, as we take it, we're going to proclaim this message of the gospel until he comes, but it happens not just when we're together celebrating the supper, it's when we leave that we have that privilege to tell others about what we're celebrating tonight, what Jesus has done, what he's done for us, how he's changed us, who he is, what he can do, what eternal life is. And I long for the day in my own life when witnessing and evangelism and telling other people those things becomes more easier, just such a natural part of what we do and who we are. Because it is a privilege when we think about all that Christ has done as we meditate on those truths. 10th, we should remember the change he's brought into our lives. We are born again. We're being transformed. You and I are not all that we want to be. We're not where we may want to be as far along in our spiritual journey as we want to be there, but we have all certainly been changed from where we started. And the only attribution to that is through the work of Jesus. And then number 11, the last thing that we need to remember is that he is worthy. He is a worthy Lord. And if we believe that he's worthy and we acknowledge his worthiness, then several things come from that that the passage, I believe, illuminates for us. First is that we should take seriously Paul's admonition to examine ourselves. If Jesus is who he says he is, and if Jesus has done what he said he did, then when you and I come before him to celebrate and to remember him as we take the Lord's Supper tonight, we should do that with a very examined heart. He doesn't tell us to come perfect. That would be impossible. But we should have thought about our sin. We should think about sin that's indwelling. We should think about sin that is not confessed. We should think about areas of struggle that we need his help to fight that battle of sin. So we examine ourselves. We take seriously the warning that we should confess our sins to make things right. That could be between us and God. That could be between us and others. It could be that what we really need to examine is a reordering of our priorities, that we've allowed other things to take the rightful place of the worthy one. And then the last part of examination, I think where it comes into play, is that we're asking ourselves, are we truly in a desire? Do we truly desire to be in a posture to worship him and please him? When we're thinking about ways to remember, and so I hope you'll use this list even tonight as we take this, but in future times, but even just daily or different times in our week as we're thinking about these things, are we thinking and remembering what the gospel has done in our lives? You know, one of the things, talking about evangelism, one of the great motivations in us sharing the gospel with other people is when we're reminded so vividly about what he's done in our own lives. The power of the gospel to save us and to change us is an incredible reminder about others who need Christ. And so when we're remembering these things as we come together to do this tonight, it helps us in our daily walk with the Lord to not take for granted our salvation, that our salvation just isn't normal or routine, but it is a supernatural work of a loving God. And so I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to start off with a few moments of silence tonight, just to give you a chance maybe to still your heart, prepare to come before him as we take the supper, and then I'll pray and we'll begin our time. Father, we come tonight before you recognizing that we are undeserving of your grace and your salvation. Father, so needy, and yet so incredibly humble and grateful for what you've provided for us through the cross and the work of Jesus. Lord, we thank you tonight for your willingness to save us, for loving us despite our sin. And so, Father, we want tonight to as we come and to celebrate that and to think about those things, Father, to do it in a manner that is worthy of you and worthy of your gospel. Father, we pray tonight as we think about this and as we take this, that the sin that your word describes as easily entangling us, Father, that our hearts would just be burdened to fight that, to choose you over our flesh. Father, we pray that you would help us to keep the account short with you by confessing sin and repenting, so that we can walk in deeper fellowship with you. So, Father, we ask you to help us tonight as we examine. Father, would you show us things in our heart that we may not be able to see? We do ask your Spirit that he would convict us and he would teach us and lead us to righteousness. Father, I pray that you would lead us tonight to a time of just overwhelming thankfulness for what you've done for us. Father, would you stir in our hearts tonight during this time a desire not only to be grateful for our own salvation, but Father, a greater desire to see you do that in the lives of others as well. So Lord, we are so overwhelmingly thankful tonight. We're moved by what you've done for us. We pray, Lord, that you would protect us and keep us from taking it for granted at any point. That we would not lose our sense of being in awe of who you are and what you've done. And thank you, God, for saving us and for changing us. And Father, we do pray that our hearts would be drawn, desiring for you to come and for us to spend eternity with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the men who are helping with serve tonight, would you come forward? As they're coming to help, just a reminder that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, this is for those who have placed their faith in Christ, who have recognized their sin and have given their lives to Jesus and asked him to save them. And so we pray that this will be a meaningful time. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." Eddie, will you pray for us?
Father God, we just, God, we come before you and we just ask that we would see sin as you see sin, God. Help us to understand and comprehend the debt that was paid and the cost that was necessary to help redeem us from our sin. Let us not just have a momentary reflection tonight of this sacraments that we are taking, God, but that it would change us every day. That we would wake up every day and mindful of what the change that had to be done in order for us to have eternal life. We thank you, God, for how you've done that. May thou ask all this in Jesus' name.
Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Jason, will you pray for us?
Lord, tonight we come and we celebrate the fact that we are no longer slaves to sin. Lord, help us to look inwardly. Help us to see and understand our own sin. Help us to be thankful to you, our Savior. Help us to see others who need you, Lord. We thank you. Words can never express our gratitude. Just thank you, Lord, in your name.
Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Randy, will you close us in a hymn?